Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. 1-800-273-8804. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God. And I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. Amen. Praise God. Continue and keep on loving on Mother while she's still here with you. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is worthy.
Praise be to God. Dear Lord, you speak to me through the Bible, through teachers, and through friends. And Father, you speak to me through that still, small voice that warns me when I stray from your will. In these quiet moments and throughout the day, show me your plan for my life, Lord, that I might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Lord, my heart and soul and mind, I pray to you. the Lord is good and bad. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you. I live for you. I come to worship you. My heart, my soul, I bring to worship you.
Dear Lord, give me the wisdom to focus, not on the distractions of the moment, but on the priorities that matter. Today and every day, Father, guide my thoughts and guard my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. And amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 347. Praise be to Lord. That's 347. No, sorry. There's so many numbers floating around in my head right now, but the number is 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And you can call in that number to hear our lesson this evening in basic theology. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. So at this time, I will play another selection.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but
but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Him. Pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying,
woo!
Jehovah, to know you and to be known by you, to experience the depths of this intimacy is my heart's greatest cry. Give me the capacity to love you deeply and to receive the love you have for me. Where my heart has become hardened or jaded, remind me of the purity of your love and gentle message it opens again. Where my mind has become too articular, give me the gift of wonder at who you are and the works of your hands. Delight my soul with your word and with the fresh wind of your Holy Spirit. Slow my steps so that abiding with you becomes a way of life. Help me to honor you as King and to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now, it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, The Hindrance of Unwise Counsel. The Hindrance of Unwise Counsel. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. Are you aware of the either subtle or overt ways your friends and loved ones direct your life? Whether you realize it or not, the people around you will influence your choices and will always have an opinion when you have a decision to make. The problem is that they properly know even less of what God's will is for your life than you do. They sniff what they see in your life through their own personality, needs, values, and perspective. So you cannot rely on other people to discover the Lord's plan for you. Can you call on godly friends for wise counsel about what the Bible says concerning your situation? Of course you can, but you must be very wise about who you allow to speak into your life. The ungodly influence of others can lead you to wrong decisions and even away from the Lord's path for you. So when there are folks in the road, when there are faults in the road and you don't know what to do, you cannot take a public vote among your friends or family members concerning your course of action. You have to listen to God. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. So let us pray. pray. Jesus, please reveal and protect us from unwise counsel. Lead us in your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory, and that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection In the Presence of His Grace by Apostle R.D. Wiggins. Praise God. I hope you enjoy this selection.
I can't complain. No, I can't complain. Mama's taking it easy. Papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet, hoping and praying. Happy and free, come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling, and I'm gonna give the Lord His day. Everything will be okay in the presence of His grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees. Sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world. Everything will be okay in in the presence of His grace. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. I'm gonna give the Lord His day, and everything will be okay in the presence of His grace. Oh yeah. In the presence of His grace. In the presence of His grace. Oh, in the presence of His grace. Yeah, in the presence of His grace.
Amen. In the presence of His grace. Dear Lord, in weak moments, we may try to build ourselves up by placing ourselves ahead of others. But You want us to be humble servants to those who need our encouragement, our help, and our love. Today, we will do our best to follow in the footsteps of Your Son, Jesus, by serving others humbly, faithfully, and lovingly. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So again, if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Father, we ask You now, as we lift Your name, that You'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are Your people. Let's realize this together. Come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move.
In Him I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may be,
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
How many know that You got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move.
In Him I live.
Say like the best of people. Come on, lift them up with you.
Let's go.
midst of his people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you high in all the earth. Let's do it together, all of the sinners, all over the world.
Lift them up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift them up.
Lift them up.
Lift them up.
Higher and higher.
Higher and higher.
Come on, look where are you?
Lift them up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift them up.
Come on, sing it. Lift them up.
I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You have revealed your power and your strength in countless ways. The heavens tell of your glory, the skies display your marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak, and at night, they make you known. They make you know. They speak without a word, and their voice is silent in the skies. Yet their message goes out to all of us on the earth. For since the creation of the world, your invisible attributes, your eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. You have revealed yourself to all of us, El Bethel, and I give you praise for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you.
El Bethel, I confess I don't always see you when you reveal yourself to me. I don't always stand in amazement at the intricacy of your creation. I fail to marvel at the depths of your wisdom. Forgive me for those times when you have revealed yourself to me, and yet I choose to view you with earthly eyes rather than with spiritual discernment. Let my love abound more and more in knowledge, in depth of insight, so that I may be able to discern what is best and may be pure in my recognition of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, you are still listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Thank you.
center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Thank you. I'm blessed in Holly David and yourself.
I'm blessed. Thank you. And God bless you, Valerie. How are you this evening?
Praise the Lord. I'm fine. I just got in, just got on the line.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So everybody had a good day?
Hey, I had my hearing from the unemployment today.
Okay.
So I hope I won. They really sound ridiculous. I hope I won.
All right. Doesn't sound ridiculous, and we are praying.
Yeah, well, what you do in the dark will come to light.
Mm-hmm.
So only the truth will stand, really. At the end of the day, God is the judge. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Praise God.
I'm just going to ask anyone to mute their phones if they're not talking and they're doing a lot of stuff in the background. That'll help us tremendously. Amen. So I'm going to open it.
I think you got to mute it on your side. You got to mute it on your side.
I don't have that.
I'll mute you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to open a prayer. All hearts and minds ready?
Yes.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come together to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Bless everyone on the line, Lord God, those that are on the line, those that are going to be on the computer, those that are going to hear this in archives if they choose to. Bless them. Bless Apostle Wiggins. Bless Lady Nadine. Bless Evangelist Hilda and Valerie and Reverend Clyde and myself, my household. Bless all households, Father God. We pray that you would just continue to make a way out of no way. And the situation with Sister Valerie, I pray that it will turn out positive. That, again, we know you are a way maker. And if it's meant for her, it will be. So what God has for me is for me, and he's going to do what he's going to do. And he's a God of sufficiency. He's a God of excellency. So, again, we thank you in advance for all you've done, all you're going to do, and all that you're doing right now. God bless each and every situation in everybody's life right now, and just make it better because I know you can. I know you will, and I know you're able, if it be thy will. So, again, thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, for your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your compassion, your favor, all of your benefits, Lord God. We thank you for a beautiful day, for the weather. We just thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we love you. We adore you. We cannot do anything without you. And I pray that you will be in this lesson and that it will be done in a special way, Lord God, that we will just be respectful of one another, not talk over one another, not, you know, mumble and all of that kind of stuff. You know, God. So we know that you can instruct us and lead us and guide us. And it will be, again, what you would have it to be. So all these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Beautiful prayer. Thank you. I receive
praise
my prayer.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you the more.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're going to pick it up with the, thank you, with the lesson, chapter 42, the person of Christ incarnate. The person of Christ incarnate. What does that mean to you, Evangelist Hilda? We started talking about it. We're at section C. We talked about the full deity of Christ incarnate. We talked about he possesses attributes that only God has. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent. He has all power. B, he performs works that only God can do. He's about forgiveness, life, resurrection, judgment. And now we're at C. He has given the names and titles. He was given the names and titles of deity. Excuse me. What do we know about the person of Christ incarnate? Can you say that in a few words?
Not really. That God gave him the power to do everything that he does down here on earth, and that he is part of the Trinity. So he's it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Valerie, you want to add something to that?
No, that was good.
Okay. So moving right along, we're at page 285, section C. He was given the names and titles of deity. Number one, Son of God. Our Lord used this designation of himself, though rarely, John 10:36, and he acknowledged its truthfulness when it was used by others of him, Matthew 26:63-64. What does it mean? Though the phrase son of can mean offspring of, it also carries the meaning of the order of. Thus, in the Old Testament, sons of the prophet meant of the order of prophets, 1 Kings 20:35, and sons of the singers meant of the order of the singers, Nehemiah 12:28. The designation son of God, when used of our Lord, means of the order of God and is a strong and clear claim to full deity. What is your understanding of that before we get into the scriptures?
For me, it means like he had a lot of names. People call him different names, but he's still one person with many names.
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah, I think that's as much as I could say.
Okay. Now, you just said that he was one of three.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I did, didn't I? Yes. God of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he's still a part of the Trinity, even though he has a lot of names.
Names, yes. Okay. Thank you.
No problem. And we have to remember that everybody does not believe in the Trinity. Does that make it false?
No.
All right.
No, everyone has their own opinion of who God is and what he is.
Well, you know, we don't really deal in opinions. If we read the word, we get that information from the word. So your opinion is one thing, but when we talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we rely more on the word than our opinion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have an opinion, but does it stand up next to the word? And oftentimes, you know, sometimes it falls short. Not oftentimes. Sometimes it falls short. So let's take a look at John 10:36, Evangelist Hilda.
Okay.
And then, Valerie, I want you to look at Matthew 26:63-64. John 10:36 first, please.
Oh, wait a minute. Matthew 26:31.
Do you have your book with you?
Yes, I have a Bible, but I'm trying to get the
scripture. No, I didn't say a Bible. I'm talking about the book. Do you have the book with you? You're going in now.
What is the scripture? Matthew 26. What? You're going too fast.
Matthew 26:63-64. And I'm going to ask again, do you have your book with you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. The person of Christ incarnate. Now, John.
Okay, Valerie. Evangelist Hilda is going to read John 10:36 first, and then you'll read Matthew 26:63-64, please.
All right.
John 10:36 says, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father sent me apart and sent me into the world. Praise be to God.
Valerie, you got to mute your phone. I don't know what you be doing, but
Matthew 26:63-64. Okay, let's go.
But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Amen. Any comments?
Well, when the priest asked Jesus who he was, Jesus spoke to him almost in a parable. Well, it's not so much of a parable. It's more like a prophecy. So, and it showed that, you know, he's a deity, a powerful figure that's going to be on the right hand of God.
All right.
Sitting on his throne in the clouds of heaven.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a look at 1 Kings 20-35, Evangelist and Sister Valerie, Nehemiah 12:28.
Yes, ma'am. Looking. Okay, 35 says, oh, and this is a prophet condemns Ahab. 35 says, meanwhile, the Lord instructed one of the group of prophets to say to another man, hit me. But the man refused to hit the prophet. Amen. Okay.
Nehemiah 12:28 reads, and the sons of the singer gathered themselves together, both from the southern country were about to river, and from the northern near the Helta. How do you pronounce it?
You're muffled. I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Netophia. I don't know how to pronounce it. The last word, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a village.
I heard you.
Okay. Netophia. I don't know.
Is it Nehemiah 12? 12. And
well, Azmaveth, Azmaveth.
Netophia. You said 28, right? Wait, 12?
Yes.
Is that 28? Okay.
Okay, I'm going to read 27-29. When it came time for the dedication of the wall, they tracked down and brought in the Levites from all their homes in Jerusalem to carry out the dedication exuberantly. Thanksgiving hymns, songs, cymbals, harps, and lutes. The singers assembled from all around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites and Beth Gilgal, from the farms of Geba and Zaphmaveth. The singers had built villages for themselves all around Jerusalem. I don't understand why this has anything to do with this, but okay.
Wow, that's been talked about. Sister Barbara.
Oh, we're talking about the singers and just giving a list of the different singers.
Oh,
right. I think our lesson talks about it. We read about Let's see. Right?
Yeah, the different order of singers. That's what this is describing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So next paragraph is, the Jewish usage, the term son of, did not generally imply any subordination. Quality and identity of nature. What does that mean?
In Jewish usage, this term son of did not generally imply any subordination, but rather equality. Let's see. Does it mean that even though because they said that he never mind. In Jewish usage, the term.
Okay, so you have a take on that, Valerie?
No.
Okay, so the usage of the term son of ... didn't generally imply any subordination. In other words, it didn't mean a father talking about a younger somebody, son, a subordinate.
Okay.
Equality and identity of nature. So they were equal and they were identifiable in nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Jewish usage of the term son of. So we know we talk about Jesus in terms of what? Son of what?
God.
God.
Son of God and son of man.
Oh, yes, true.
All right? Because he had two natures.
Yes.
So he's the son of man. How is he the son of man?
Because he was born in the flesh.
All right. Excellent. And how is he the son of God?
Because he's God's son in the spirit. He's God himself, but he was just,
okay.
He came into, yes, the same. They both the same.
Wonderful. He's all a part of the Trinity.
Right.
Remember God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Or the Holy Spirit? They're all one. So he's God and deity, the Son of God, as a deity, as a God. And he's the son of man, and that his mother was a human being, and he was born through her, carried for 9 months in the womb, and given birth. Okay?
Okay.
So, second sentence. Very good, both of you. Thus Bar Kokhba, who led the Jewish revolt 135 through 132 B.C. in the region of Hadron, was called by a name which means son of the star. It was supposed that he took this name to identify himself as the very star in Numbers 24 and 17. Evangelist Hill, to get that, we're not ready for it yet. The name son of encouragement in Acts 4 and 36, Sister Valerie, get that, not ready yet. Son of encouragement doubtless means the encourager. Sons of Thunder, Mark 3:17, probably means thunderous men. Son of man, especially as applied to Christ in Daniel 7:13, and constantly in the New Testament, essentially means the representative man. Thus, for Christ to say, I am the Son of God, in John 10:36, which we read, was understood by his contemporaries as identifying himself as God, equal with the Father, in an unqualified sense. Okay, so we're going to take a look first at Numbers 24 and 17.
Okay. Numbers 24 and 17 says, I see him, but not here and now. I perceived him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. It will crush the forehead of Moab's people, cracking the skulls of the people of Sheetith. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is somebody's phone?
Not me.
Okay. Acts 4:36.
Acts 4:36 reads, and Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus.
A Levite.
Thank you.
That's the whole thing?
That's it.
36? Okay. So who are we talking about here? He was known as the encourager, son of encouragement.
Jesus.
Barnabas. Jose,
right,
Barnabas.
Not Jesus. Right. Barnabas. All right. And next, we're going to look, Evangelist Hilda, at Mark 3 and 17.
Oh.
All these different sons of, just to give you an idea about sons of and how they're not something of.
Mark 3 and
17.
Mark 3 and 17 says. Ooh. James and John, sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them Sons of Thunder.
All right. So who is that? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I said, who is that?
James and John, the sons of thunder.
All right.
So those were
two brothers.
Right. And they give them
James and John.
Yes.
Not John the Baptist.
No, I know.
No, I'm just clarifying it. I didn't say you didn't know. I'm just saying not John the Baptist, but the two brothers who were also called disciples, the sons of Zebedee. What were they doing when Jesus called them to follow him? You remember?
They're fishermen.
Right. They were fishing.
Yeah.
Two sons, James, two brothers, James and John.
Yes.
So now this is also the two brothers that the mother got involved and asked you know, yes. what seat of honor the son yes. could take.
The same two brothers. Yes.
Right. And so what do you think, what do you recall them being told by Jesus?
He said only his father can make that decision. He can't make that decision whether they're going to
And he want. Also said something else.
Oh man, okay. What was the rest of it?
That's what I want you to tell me.
Well, I would have to read that because I don't remember what
okay,
else.
Okay, so he said, Jesus said, are you able to take this cup?
Oh, yes.
You know, you want to be in a position of high, you want to be in a high position.
Yes.
But are you able to do what I'm going to do, about to do?
No, they
you know, can
not.
You drink of this bitter cup?
No, we cannot.
So that was, no, I'm talking about the boys, the two men.
Yes, I know.
No, they couldn't do it. So that's the end of that, you know?
Yes.
And then you got the other disciples sitting around listening to this. How are they going to be elevated when it's 12, well, 11 of them now, because what happened to the other one?
Judas, well, they said he committed suicide.
But I'm saying at the time he was away.
He
was
out. He was over there betraying Jesus.
Right, more or less. He was not present. He was not present. He's getting it together, getting his 30 pieces of silver and just being a scoundrel.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
Sister Barbara.
Yes.
That's really interesting and enlightening how you bring it out, how the Bible speaks of the son of, you know, there's a lot of legacy, the son of this person, the son of that one here. And, you know, mm-hmm. even the 12 sons of Jacob and, you know, it was just very masculine. You know, with all the new virgins, and I know the manuscript is so masculine. That's the way the world was, man. And we're not mentioned in this Bible as much as men, you know, here. This daughter, then the
mm-hmm.
next daughter, you know. But
right, that's true.
Oh, you know, with all the virgins coming out, I wonder, you know, why, you know, we don't see that with so many feminists in the world. I don't know.
Well, I guess
but, you know,
have to read. I guess you would have to read a woman's Bible. I don't know if they do that in the women's Bible. You know. Put the spotlight
you know,
on the women more. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I think most Christians want to stick to the Word of God, and God
mm-hmm.
created a woman out of a rib of a man, and wanted man to be the ruler, leaders in the
mm-hmm.
earth. So I guess we can't stray but so far, you know.
Right, but also
we
want to
be
tomb,
now.
Also, at the tomb of Jesus, who came and discovered that Jesus was not there?
The women.
Right. So the women played a great part. They were the ones that told the other disciples that Jesus was missing from the tomb, and they then came to see for themselves what had happened. All right, so you remember the first two that came, the first two men that got to the tomb after Jesus had came out?
Yeah.
Who?
Mary and Mary and her sister, right? Was it Mary and
I
her
said
sister?
Two men.
Nah.
What two men?
Oh, the men.
Yeah, what two men came?
Peter
well,
and Mark. Who was
who?
It? Wait. after the Magdalene and them went back and told the disciples, then Peter and John went to the
came to see for themselves, right?
Yes.
And who got there first? Peter or John?
John got there first.
Okay. He outran Cephas, right?
Yeah,
he's a little quicker than Cephas. It's interesting. I don't know their ages. I would have to try to see, you know, but John outran Cephas. And so he was the one that discovered that the napkin had been folded up, you know, and set on the side and placed on the side, I should say, that had covered our Lord and Savior's face.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
So now we go.
Praise be to God.
Yes, yes. So now we're going to look at Daniel 7 and 13, evangelist. And then we're going to ask, well, we read John 10 and 36, so we don't need to reread that.
Daniel 7 and 13 says. Wait.
Valerie, you need to mute your phone.
I got it. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts about that?
This is Daniel talking about his vision. And he said that the Ancient One is God.
Yes.
Mhm. Oh yeah. And he
what
said
does ancient mean?
Ancient is like old.
Exactly. You know.
Mhm.
You know.
Yeah. Back in the day.
All right.
Yeah.
So let me see what mine says. Daniel 7 and 13.
Okay.
It says, yeah. I saw a human form, a son of man, arriving in a world of clouds.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the old one and was presented to him. Mm. He was given power to rule all the glory of royalty. Mm. Everyone, race, color, and creed had to serve him. His rule would be forever, never ending. His kingly rule would never be replaced. So he saw two people, right?
Yes. Yes.
What do you see? Valerie, can you respond?
No, I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
Okay, we know
it's
already.
So noisy. I'm sorry.
Evangelist Hilda already said that.
Some noise. I'll be back.
The Ancient One was God. And so we're talking also about the Son of Man, and we know who that is, right?
Yes.
Who is that?
Jesus.
All right. So Daniel is saying that he saw in human form Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Coming in a whirl of clouds, and he came to his father.
Yes.
The Ancient One, the Old One. Thank you.
She's supposed to read the next one.
Well, we're going to pass her. Just go on. We're not reading 10 and 36 because we read that already. So.
Oh.
I am the Son of God. We read that earlier. In fact, I think, didn't you read that? Yeah, you were the first one to read in section C.
Oh, yes, 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 I see.
Mm-hmm. You want to read it again? You can.
No, I think I see it now. So if they just repeated the scripture, I am the Son of God.
Right.
Yeah, they just repeated it, 286 now.
So continuing, for thus for Christ to say, I am the Son of God, which was seen in John 10:36, was mm-hmm. understood by his contemporaries as identifying himself as God, equal with the Father,
yes.
in an unqualified sense.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means, in an unqualified sense?
Unqualified means that he unqualified. But it says, but he was qualified when his father gave him qualifications. But before,
but the scripture is saying,
it's saying that before he was qualified, he was unqualified until the Father qualified him to be. No?
Okay, so Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God.
Yes.
Was understood by his contemporaries, those, his peers,
yes.
as identifying himself as God, equal with his Father in an unqualified sense. And that's what I think we talked about before. Well, I'm not sure, but in Colossians, I think 15. Hold on one moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Be calling like, yes, good evening. Hi. Okay, I'm on. I'm not interested. Okay.
Yes.
So sorry. So
no problem.
In an unqualified sense, was understood by his contemporaries as identifying himself as God. He let them know that he was equal to God, Father, in an unqualified sense. What does your commentary say about that? Does it speak about John 10:36?
I've got to go to, let me just get to John first, right? John.
Okay,
here we go.
10:36.
10:36. Okay, it starts from 34 to 36.
No problem.
All right. Jesus referred to Psalms 82:6, where the Israelite rulers and judges are called gods. See also Exodus 4:16, 7, and 1. If God calls the Israelite leaders gods because they were because they were agents of God's revelation and will, how could it be blaspheming for Jesus to call himself the Son of God? Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders because he is the Son of God in a unique, unparalleled relationship of oneness with the Father. That's 34 to 36.
Okay. Let me see if I can find. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it was a unique oneness.
Yes.
With the Father.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Colossians, I think it's 1 and 15. I'm not sure. Let me see real quick because I had a different Bible. 1 and 15. Okay, I would probably have to do it at a later time because that's not the one I'm looking for.
Oh, so you said it's not Colossians 1 and 6?
It is Colossians, but 1 and 15, maybe it is. No, I don't think, I thought it was 2 and something. Let me see something. If I can Google it, don't say anything for a moment.
Okay.
Where in Colossians does Jesus, in Colossians where Jesus said he would empty himself of God. Give me Philippians 2 and 7. He's not the one I'm looking for. Philippians 2 and 7. But I can read that too. I don't know why they didn't leave Philippians, but it was Colossians. Let me see. Okay, they could skip. Okay, I'll read what it says. They're talking about Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And it reads, having this mind among yourselves. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So when we read this passage in the book of Philippians, verse 7 talks about Jesus emptying himself. What does this mean, and what did Jesus empty himself of? It's essential to understand what this statement means so that you know the true nature of Jesus as he lived on earth as a man and as God. When you fail to interpret this verse correctly, then it can lead you to understand who Jesus is incorrectly. Wow.
Wow.
But the other thing,
he gave up his divine privileges.
Right. Well, not really. He just wait a minute. This is Colossians 9. I think this is it. So looking at these misconceptions and what the scriptures reveal to us, we know that Jesus in his incarnation was 100% God and 100% man. This is clearly described in Colossians 2 and 9, saying, For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. In Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells bodily. So Jesus never ceased to be God. He should never be considered to be half man and half divine. Instead, he is both God and man. So he emptied himself of that deity part and allowed God to be the one in power, right? But he still performed miracles, signs, and wonders, right? But that's what it's saying, too, that he did not consider himself equal to God. That's where it gets back to this paragraph where it says he was unqualified. Where is that? I turned the page.
Yeah, unqualified
He considered himself I am the Son of God was understood by his contemporaries as identifying himself as God, equal with the Father in an unqualified sense. So even though he was God, a part again of the Trinity, he did not take on that thing that they accused him of being blasphemous, right?
Yes.
Oh, you're saying this, you can forgive sin. Nobody but God can forgive sins. Who are you? And he let him know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father and I are one.
Amen.
Okay, so it's something else. It's something else. But Colossians 2 and 9, and I think it even went to 15. So we're going to go on.
Colossians 2. You said, okay, what's
15? So the next one is part 2.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, Lord and God. What time is it? 7:49. Okay,
minutes.
We have like
10 minutes.
So, Lord and God, Jesus is called Yahweh in the New Testament, a clear indication of his full deity. See Luke 1 and 76 with Malachi 3:1 and Romans 10:13 with Joel 2 and 32. He is also called God, John 1 and 1, 20:28, Hebrews 1 and 8, Lord, Matthew 22, 43-45, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19 and 6. What do you think about that? Lord and God.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And no doubt about it.
Okay. So who was Yahweh?
Yahweh was God. That was one
exactly.
one of his many names.
Mm-hmm. And that was, is, he still is.
Still is, right.
Yeah, he still is. So Jesus is called Yahweh in the New Testament.
In the
A clear indication of his full deity. So we're going to take a look at some of these, not all, because we're going to have a time constraint. Let's look at Luke 1 and 76.
Okay, Luke. That's Matthew, Mark. Luke 1 and
76.
Is there a 76?
No.
Yes.
Luke 1 and 76?
Yes, ma'am. It says, and you, my little son.
Mine only goes to, what is that, 60? Or is that 80? Okay, 80.
Yeah.
No.
Yours doesn't go from 1 to 80?
Hold on a minute. Let me look at it.
Okay.
Yes, okay. That's 80.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can read 76, please.
Yeah. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. That's John the Baptist they're talking about.
Talking about. Who's talking to him?
I think God is talking to him and telling him that he's going to be his little son, and he'll be the one to prepare the way for Jesus coming.
Amen. Amen. Letting him know that he was going to have a divine mission to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Son of Man, the Son of God. So let's take a look at Malachi 3 and 1.
Okay, Malachi. All the way down. Galatians, Thessalonians.
That's the Old Testament, the last chapter.
Okay.
3 and 1.
Three and one says, look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army. Amen.
All right. Thank you.
That's the day of judgment.
Okay. The master you've been looking for.
Yes.
Is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that this is in the last book of the Old Testament.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And do you know how long it was before they heard from the Lord again?
Years. I don't remember how many years, but years.
400 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, no sign of God in their life.
Can you imagine?
For 400 years.
Wow.
Right. When he came, he came in the form of a baby.
Yes.
When he came, as Isaiah had prophesied, that he was coming. You know, and Isaiah prophesied that how many years before he came? Do you remember?
700 and something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. About 700 years before he came.
Amen.
Wow.
Okay.
So we're going to stop.
Yeah.
Go on. So, I'm sorry. Finish your sentence.
No, I was saying we got 4 minutes and some change.
Yeah, I'm going to stop here. So.
Okay.
Any comments about, I'm not going to give you all homework because you never do it. So that's, you know, a waste of my breath. So you want to, you got any comments? We're going to take, you're going to take us out in prayer?
I'll take us out in prayer.
Okay.
Valerie left, so it's just. Anyway, Father God, once again, a few of your humble servants come again and thanking you for life. We're thanking you for health, strength. We're thanking you for everything that you are doing, everything that you're going to do. We're thanking you for forgiving us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. We're thanking you for our families. We're thanking you for our finances. We're thanking you for just being who you are, loving on us, giving us, and taking care of us, Lord God, and just giving us your word and feeding us as lambs, Lord God, that we need to know your word in order to survive in this world, Lord God, because in the next world, we're just going to live on you, love on you, and do all that you would have us to do, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you again, Lord God, for our neighbors, for our friends, our loved ones, our families, even our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you touch our enemies, Lord God, soften their hearts, Lord God, and just guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. Then they become new creatures in you, Lord God. And we thank you again for everything that you are doing, for a roof over our heads, food on our tables, Lord God. We even ask that you watch over the migrants, Lord God, and just help those in authority, Lord God, to find decent places for these people to be, Lord God, because these are your people, Lord God. In a foreign land, Lord God, we are all foreigners here. We're just passing through. This is not our home, Lord God. But we ask that, Lord God, as long as we are here on this land, just guide us and protect us and keep us safe from all hurt, harms, and dangers, Lord God. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. 1 minute. Praise be to God. Thank you,
praise God.
God.
Thank you for that prayer. Did you speak to Mother Wiggins?
No, I didn't go to her Sunday. I told Pastor and them to give her my love.
Because
I know she was going to have a lot of company, and I was going to call her. But I fell asleep. What can I say?
How was your Mother's Day?
Mother's Day was fine, but I really enjoyed myself on Saturday because I celebrated Mother's Day with my sisters and them, and we went to Ashford and Simpson Sugar Cafe.
Oh, man.
Okay. That food is so good.
Really?
Yes, it's all soul food. And what we had entertainment. They had a jazz band. You know, senior citizen jazz band. But, you know, they love jazz.
And all right.
Very nice. Very nice. I had the the catfish with I had salmon. We had the catfish as an appetizer. I had the salmon in teriyaki sauce with greens and mac and cheese and candy yams. Girl. We didn't even have room for dessert. And you know
they're
wonderful for desserts, but we didn't have no space to put it.
That's nice. I'm glad you went somewhere. Well, you said that was Saturday?
Yes, we went Saturday.
That's good.
Yes, my niece made reservations for us, and it was wonderful.
I'm glad.
Because I knew I wasn't going to be able to go anywhere Sunday because, you know, we had church, and then after church, I'd be too tired to travel to Manhattan. So we did it on Saturday.
That's good. And it probably would have been no way to get in except with a reservation on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to check out
their reservation like a week or two in advance.
Mhm. Yeah, for Sunday especially.
Mhm.
But
I
was gonna say something. I had a nice time. I went to like four churches, including Zoom.
Yeah,
the Zoom was the fourth one, but I didn't get back. I started out about 10 o'clock in the morning, and back home until something to 9. You know, I came home between the second service because I thought I was going to take accessorides. And then when I called because they weren't here at 3:30, because I told y'all I'm have to leave because I didn't know what time it was. So when I called, they said, you don't have any trips scheduled for today. I'm like, excuse me? So I didn't because I've been doing so many trips and so many other things. I wrote down the address for restoration, but I did not call them.
Oh, no.
I have a little pad where I write down my trips and I write down who's taking care of me and all of that.
Yeah.
So I wrote down the time I wanted to go, which was 3:30, but I did not call them to make a reservation.
Oh,
so I'm thinking they're coming, you know, and nobody gave me a text, nobody called me. And so I'm so grateful that Kenny was here. You know, he did. I was supposed to be there at 4:30. I got there in time, but I mean, but I had a nice time. I had to sing, so that was
They would have been so disappointed if you didn't make it.
I was dressed and ready to go, and it was either that or take a cab, but like I said, he was nice enough to say he would do it.
Yeah,
and then I had to call him to come back and pick me up, so he did.
praise God.
Yeah, that was nice. Yes, praise God. Either that or catch a cab, but anyway, all turned out well.
I don't know if you would have been able to get a cab, honey, because it wasn't easy. We had to get Uber.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to call a cab that works out here, and I know that this was in Bed-Stuy. I know they don't seem to like to come out of East New York, so I was saying, I don't know if I'll get them, but before I tried them, I called Kenny first, and he, was out. Yeah. And said I could come. I know. It's something else.
Mm-hmm.
But when is your birthday? That's what I wanted to say.
Tomorrow.
Okay. The 17th.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, you know I didn't send you anything yet, but I said I know it's somewhere around the 14th, I thought, but it's the 17th. I'm just going to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Many more.
I'm not going to talk to you until, Sunday?
Well, I could call you, you know. I could call you.
You could text me when you text me my devotional and stuff in the morning.
Right.
Put the happy birthday there.
Yes, I could do that too. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna send you a card a little later on. I wasn't quite sure. That's the thing. You
okay.
know.
Thank you so much in advance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got so many happy birthdays from my doctors and my insurance company. So I was like, wow, thank y'all. They remember my birthday.
Nice, nice. I got one from the mayor.
Wow. I didn't even get one from him. That bald head.
Got one from the mayor.
Oh, that was wonderful.
And some other assembly person sent me a happy birthday.
I got one from mine too.
Okay. Somebody's thinking about us.
Amen.
But anyway, what you plan to do? Anything? Got any plans?
My sisters are coming tomorrow, and we're going out to the Golden Corral.
Oh!
All we do is eat.
Is that near you?
Yeah, it's up on Tremont and Castle Hill. Not far from me. They come in from Manhattan. I'm already here. I can just take a cab and I'm there in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I heard there was one in New York, but I thought it was in the Heights of Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
In the Heights, but apparently.
There's one over there. But
I don't know.
Go to the one over here by me in Castle Hill in the Bronx.
Okay, all right. That's good to know. I'll try to check them out sometime.
Yeah, it's right across from the, what you call that, buildings. Those co-ops,
Tracy Towers?
No. It's, oh, man.
Oh, over there around Gun Hill Road and stuff?
No,
Co-op City.
You too far up.
Not Co-op City.
It's further down. Parkchester, that's what it is.
Oh, in Parkchester?
Parkchester Co-op.
Oh.
Yes, right across the street from there. So, honey, you know that place be jam-packed with all of them. They don't cook Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, honey. That place is jammed.
Goodness, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
But I wish you a beautiful birthday. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Don't eat too much. All right? Okay. Love you, and, you know, just enjoy. Maybe we'll get to
something. Yes.
Another
time,
okay?
All right. God bless you.
Welcome.
And have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Love you. Shalom.
Love you. Shalom.
Okay.
Bye.